Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, people. We were experiencing some technical difficulties. As always, it's fun. Now I can't get Ginger to pick up.
Whoops!
There you are.
Girl, I was trying.
Oh, we are live and sick, apparently. Gosh, I think we should just get back to bed and call it a day.
Yes. I keep muting myself so y'all can't hear me cough.
We're both sick. Ginger made me sick. She wasn't joking. Y'all saw that on Facebook. She said not to hug her because she's going to get me sick. She did.
I told you. Don't be hugging me.
But you're so cute. I couldn't help but hug you.
I know. And now you're sick.
Yes, now I'm sick.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be fine.
I'm sorry.
Man, you know what really caused this is the Houston weather. We had like 3 seasons in one day.
I think that's a lot of what helped this long was that last week was like that for us,
yeah.
Where we're at. In
3 seasons in one day. I kid you not, I got up, what was that, Monday morning?
Monday morning,
it was hot, it was 75, and that night I had the windows and stuff open, and it was not dawning on me that it was actually getting colder outside. I thought it was just, you know how it gets cooler at night. And I said, ooh, the house is so nice and cool, and I had the fan going, And by the time I woke up that morning, it was like...
Flipping cold.
Yes, and I had wet hair because I couldn't find my hair dryer.
It's not the way that works, right?
And I was up all night cleaning. This was just not the perfect storm of bad stuff. I know y'all are looking for your music, but we don't have any this morning.
No, sorry, folks. And you, Brit dude over there, you know who I'm talking about. You've got a date. And you want to know what to wear. You should have been listening to Pixinista the past couple of weeks. You would know what to wear on this oh-so-important date of yours.
Well, not last night, because we were...
last night. Last night we were sick. Last night we were like, screw this crap.
Good. And I would like to take this time to apologize to anybody who received a Benadryl text from me. I'm very sorry. I most likely don't remember what I said to you. Or I can see what I said to you. I'm very sorry. Yeah, big fun. Good morning to you there, Joe. We'll try not to cough on you.
Good morning, Joe. Yeah, I'm going to try to mute myself when I'm coughing because y'all don't want to hear that. That's just not pretty.
I coughed in somebody's ear yesterday. And
I was
like,
just close that.
That was so funny. I thought I was muted yesterday and I was just, and then the person says, sounds like you have a cold there. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Anyway, we got tons of.
We do. Actually, I have one I want to start off with because I think it's kind of cool.
Do it.
I'm going to try to do it without coughing.
Do it.
I guess we'll see.
And I'm going to mute. Or I'm going to try to. I have a new headset that's all highfalutin. I'm not really sure how it works. I think when I push this button, when it's flashing, it's supposed to be muted, which is confusing.
My highfalutin headset's in the mail, so.
This one came from Walmart, believe it or not.
Yeah. Which one did you get? Did you get the Raptor?
No, it's a Logitech.
Oh, interesting.
And it's double sided. I can put it on either side. The headphones are not too big because I have little ears,
mm-hmm.
So those big headphones hurt. And the volume control and mute is all in the same thing. It's very high tech considering it came from Walmart and Logitech. Now the first one I got from them was sucky. Just so y'all know, I was mad at the people at Walmart. We were about to fight.
Yeah, I was given the Raptor. LL something last year from Walmart, and it comes with a little charging stand. And
ooh, now that is highfalutin.
It's awesome. It's awesome, but it only worked for about a month. And then, it's been almost a year since I got them. And so I figured I'd return them, and finally got around to doing that yesterday. So I returned them, and the new ones are being sent to me in the mail.
And that, people, is why you have warranties, and you should keep them.
Yes. Thankfully, the person who bought these for me for Christmas bought me the 3-year warranty with it, so.
That's hot.
Yes, I know. That's the gift that just keeps on giving right there.
Yes, especially with us, because we break shit. Oops, daytime, I forgot. Look at that, it's me today. I'm sorry, y'all at work. I'm so sorry, it's daytime. We're not supposed to be saying those bad words.
Our bad. All right, so I'm pulling this one from GamePolitics.com, and I'm telling you about it because I think this is awesome, and I think we should all help. Pixel Academy, which is a New York-based company founded by former lead game designer at Nickelodeon, Mike Fishta.
Ooh.
He has been conducting workshops for children ages 8 to 12 all over the city at locations such as homes and public libraries. Anyways, these children video game design, 3D printing, Arduino fashion design, and other fun technology-based courses. Mr. Fish just served as senior game designer at Nickelodeon and as lead designer of Nicktropolis, which is a popular children's virtual world. I haven't checked that out. I'll have to check that out, see how well that's done before I can tell you whether or not I think it's good for your kids. Anyways, and Nicktropolis maintained a user base of over 7 million users. Fish and his small team of dedicated instructors have enjoyed teaching children technology-based fun, but now the group wants to settle into their own space. And towards that, they've launched a crowdfunding campaign over at Fundable with the goal of raising $20,000. They'll use the money to settle into a permanent space where children can come after school to learn about video games, 3D printing, and other fun stuff. The backers have lots of reward options, too. Not that we need them for this sort of thing, people. This is something we should be helping out with. This is helping our future. But the most important ones, let them sponsor a child to learn some important skills. Seriously, I think I may have to do this. So far, the campaign has raised approximately $1,800 of its $20,000 goal. Given all the good they do for New York City, it would be nice to see this project find a more permanent place to continue their good deeds for the children there. So if you want to do this, you can head over to fundable.com/Pixel Academy, Pixel-Academy. I am going to tweet this out to y'all so you can help out where you can. $20,000 really is not a lot of money to raise, and this is going for such a great cause. And maybe, you know, if they get this going in New York, maybe somebody else will be inspired to start this in these other towns, because I think this is amazing. If they'd had some kind of program like this after school when I was a kid, I would have kicked and screamed and thrown a fit until I was allowed in. So I think this is awesome. This is amazing, and this is something that kids need nowadays. You don't want to leave your kids behind in the technological world. There we go. I can't say stuff today. In this day and age, this is very, very, very important. So give your kids a, you know, big helping hand up. That's just awesome. And Corey is muted.
I am muted. I was actually talking to one of our friends over on Google Plus. You all should be following us on Google Plus. Someone was asking, they were trying to figure out how to build a Flash HTML5 game, and where should they start. And for those of you who are wondering that, first, you got to learn Flash. And once you learn Flash, you got to learn the program, which is what I'm telling him. And after you do that, it's pretty much either you understand game design. If you don't, that's your next step. It's not as easy as it looks, people. The developers make it look easy when it's a good game. Even when it's a bad game, they make it look easy because you're thinking, surely I could do better than this, and you probably could. But got to learn what you need to learn first. All right. There's a lot of scams going around, of course. It's the holidays, so we all know they're coming. And one of the biggest scams, of course, is you have a lot of companies popping up, buying and selling counterfeits of things. They buy your gadgets and don't pay you, or, you know, those types of things. So you're wondering which are the real companies that you can buy and sell your things to and from. And if you're one of the people that's trying to perpetrate the scam, there's a company that's saying, you're not getting by us. And the name of that company is called Gazelle. I'm sure you've seen them on TV if you watch TV or, you know, around the internet. But they're saying over at Gazelle is that almost 12,000 of New York's 80,000 crimes as of September of this year were Apple products, stolen phones, laptops, tablets. And across the country in San Francisco, half of all the robberies were cell phone related. That's why Gazelle is there a leading gadget trade-in site that has already bought more than 1 million phones and laptops and tablets from consumers, is implementing a new system called CheckMend. It's a service that compiles 150 billion digital records on stolen devices from carriers, police, and FBI, and more. Sarah Welch over at Gazelle spoke to our friends over at VentureBeat, and she says, essentially, we'll check whether a smartphone or a tablet has been reported lost or stolen. She says, when we receive an item, we're checking it against the database. And if it's been reported stolen, we won't pay the sender. Aha! Isn't that hot? They said the thieves' the thieves' problem, of course, is turning plastic, glass, metal, and electrons into cash, and that's where too often reseller sites come along, sites where anyone can send electronics in exchange for cash. Now, however, that's going to make it a little bit harder for them. Gazelle is the first consumer electronics trade-in site to implement such a system. Again, it's called CheckMint. They're saying, of course, the system is not yet perfect. Potentially stolen devices will be returned to senders, not sent to the police, which is what I wish they would do. As to why they say they're doing this, they said there will be some transactions that we're saying no to, and it may be a small bit of a revenue hit in the short term, but we think this is the right thing to do. We pioneered this space, and we think it should be standard. And from a longer-term brand effect, it will be positive. Now, what I would hope that they would actually do is, yes, you should return it to the police. And it should be, I think this would be a little bit of revenue for you guys. Why don't you let people pay you? You know, a service kind of like insurance saying, if my phone is stolen and you get it, you will send it back to me. Here's $5 a month, $2 a month. It doesn't have to be an absorbent amount of money, something, you know, people can afford to pay that they don't mind paying. You know, let them pay a year in advance, and or pay monthly or however, and that way people, I think everybody would just appreciate that so much. And but I love that they're doing it. It's a start. I don't think this is going to work well with the police, because we all know the police is always. And I'm not. This is no dig at our policemen per se. This is your systems that are day late and dollar short. The technology that our policemen should be using. Wow, the things that they could use, things like. We have portable, you know, thumbprint scanners and things like that. Why don't they have them on the street? You pick somebody up, you scan their fingerprint, you know, if they're doing something they're not supposed to, but they're not, it's not really jail worthy. Why can't you scan it, report it right there, give them their ticket, they're in the system, and you know, pay your fine. Leave out the court business. That's too much money. It's too much money.
Yes.
They don't even gain a whole lot of money. If somebody doesn't show up to court, they don't get that money. If somebody just says, you know, I'm just not going to pay a ticket, I'm not coming. That's not revenue that you get. But this way, you know who they are. It was definitely them. They can't say, oh, it was, you know, Sam driving. It wasn't really me. Just, you know. Anyway, I'm off on a tangent.
Yeah.
But anyway, CheckMend is provided by a company in the UK, and they've just recently expanded here into the U.S. They're saying, they're going to become the largest U.S. consumer electronics background report service. I like what you guys are doing over there. I like it.
That is awesome. That is totally awesome. And I just totally closed the story. There we go. Reopen and back up. Hello. Can I do that? All right. So that's been a cool little thing going on the internet. I don't know if y'all seen it. Pictures of this Wii Mini. Well,
oh, yeah.
It's real.
Yeah, we knew. I told we knew that was coming.
Did we? Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know about the mini, but that's
we didn't think it was mini, but we thought we knew one was coming because they always do that. They just repackage what they've done. They make it better and smaller, so that's why it's a mini.
True. Well, this is the Wii Mini, but here in the U.S., we're not going to get it. No, it's only for Canada. So way to go, Canuckians. Turns out that the rumors about a new pared-down Wii console were true, but there are a couple little things about it. For one, the new console will be released only in Canada. What reason that is, not quite for sure. It will be released to our wonderful neighbors in the Northern Kingdom on December 7th. It's going to retail about $99 Canadian. It does not support backwards compatibility, which means it's not capable of playing those old GameCube games. It's also not online capable, so you can't use any services such as Netflix or Hulu.
Oh, what's the fun in that?
I know, right? It's going to come in red and black, and it's compatible with 1,300 Wii games. Canadian consumers will also be able to buy Nintendo Select brand games starting at $19.99. Other games, such as Smash Bros. Brawl and Donkey Kong Country Return, are going to retail for $29.99. Newer titles like Mario Kart Wii and Wii Sports Resort are going to be $39.99. The new Super Mario Bros. Wii will be $59.99. And a Wii Fit Plus and a Wii Balance Board bundle is going to cost you $99.99. Why didn't they just say it $100?
That would be baby magic. Why don't they just say it's $100?
So Nintendo is describing the new device as a family-friendly offering aimed at first-time users who want to experience motion-controlled gaming and nothing else. you know, this is probably a good thing if you don't want your kids going online, you're afraid about who they're going to contact. This thing wouldn't be a bad idea because they can still play the games.
Yes.
They just can't play the online version.
This is exactly what it's good for. You can, and this one they can actually keep in their room because no kid should have a console in their room that goes online.
Exactly.
Fun. Okay. There's so much games. I'm not sure where to go. Okay, well, I'm going to do two because there's a bunch of awards being handed out that I want to definitely mention. Of course, our friends over at Guns of Icarus won themselves an award. Yay! And the name of that company that made Guns of Icarus is Muse Games. They were nominated, actually, as a selected project at Game Connection this past year. Their flagship product, Guns of Icarus, will be presented in a 5-minute pitch to the industry at large, as well as receive several other key benefits awarded to this year's nominees. And, of course, they are saying it's an honor to return to Game Connection once again as a selected product. That's from Howard So, who's the CEO of Muse Games. Muse Games was selected last year for the title Creavers, like creatures, but Creavers, which debuted on the iOS, Mac, PC, and Facebook. And, of course, Guns of Icarus is the first cooperative airship combat game, mixing together first-person shooter action with team-based strategy. And you've heard our interview. I think you've heard our interview with them. We got to hang out with them a cute couple of months ago during the beta. If you're not aware, up to 4 people can crew a ship and take on the key roles of captain, gunner, or engineer and fight against another ship in the post-apocalyptic wastelands. A whole lot of fun to play. And, of course, if you don't have a full team, it'll stick an NPC in there so you're not just playing with 2 people, which is great. So I love it. I love it.
Don't play as Corey. She tried to knock you over the head.
I did not try to knock you over the head. I kept falling off the ship. It was just an ugly death. All I kept seeing was things.
Go back and listen to the interview. Yeah, she was trying to bang me in the back of the head with a wrench just to see whether or not she could.
Oh, you know what? I might have been.
You were.
I'm kind of dying to hit somebody in the back of the head with a wrench in a game. I really am. I really am.
Do y'all see how mean she is to me?
I love you. I didn't actually hit you. Besides, it wouldn't let me.
The only reason why she, you know, didn't
actually
hit me. Just
wouldn't
let her.
Now, more awards given out at other things this week. Ubisoft, NCSoft, and Sony won themselves recognition at Game Connection Marketing Awards just today with campaigns praised for their creativity and reach in video game advertising. Ubisoft's Rise campaign for Assassin's Creed 3 took the Best Broadcast Award, while NCSoft's Guild Wars 2 took the Best Digital, and Sony's PS Vita was honored in the Experimental category. Experimental, interesting. Just Dance 3 was picked up the Best Mobile Gong, while Best PR Campaign went to Wargaming.net for World of Warplanes. NCSoft's Guild Wars 2 also nabbed themselves Best Print and Best Social Media. Best Print and Best Social Media went to 2K's Borderlands 2. Let me see who else is listed on here. You have, for Best Marketing Team of the Year, Crispin Porter plus Bogusky Autodance, which is a smartphone app for Just Dance 3. Best Broadcast Campaign, Sidley Paris for Rise, which I just told you about. Who else is on here? Let me get down the list a little bit. I think that was actually all of them.
Was that all?
I think that was all of them, the Borderlands. So anyway, congratulations to those guys for being recognized for something.
Yay! Congratulations to you guys for being recognized for something.
Well, you know, we don't have many gaming awards except for that Spike crap, so Spike TV's little idiotic gaming show. Why is Jay talking about me? You should be surprised. I don't often hit people in the back of the head with a wrench in a game. And nobody talks about Ginger Steel and all the health packs. Why is nobody talking about that?
I would never. And I've not done it to them.
Yes, you have.
No, I did it to you and,
Jay play it too. Me, you, Jay, and Z. Yes.
No. It was only me, you, and Z. Jay wasn't there.
Oh, you know what? I think he died. He wasn't in game.
He wasn't there.
I think he died.
There was a guy talking in chat.
That would be Horace.
And I happen to know that I had a guy that was with me that was playing with us.
Still, you steal health packs.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And shoot people in the foot and leave them to die. Just saying.
Or the knee.
You said it too quickly. You know it's you.
Or the knee. All right. So, Game Maker DRM is permanently vandalizing paying users' games. All right, so there's a popular indie gaming making tool, GameMaker, and has a slight issue with its DRM. Over the weekend, some users noticed that the tool was permanently vandalizing their sprites with images of a skull.
That's not funny.
A recent update of GameMaker Studio has left many developers confused and frustrated after an anti-piracy system that went haywire. Those who use a legally obtained version of the studio have had game sources, resources such as sprites, overlaid with an image of a skull and crossbones. The resources are permanently edited, rendered useless.
Oh, crap.
Like, oops.
Oops, yeah, that's a big oops.
In response to the complaints, Yo-Yo Games has decided to remove this particular action from the many things its current DRM does when it detects a pirated copy of the software. However, the DRM and many more passive things it does will remain. We'd love to be able to remove the protection completely, but we know that the vast numbers would simply copy it if it was that easy. There are many levels to the current protection system, and while many are visible like this, there are also many that are hidden, so we can always tell when a final game was created with a crack. We expect an update to go out tomorrow to remove this protection, and we'll move away from the destructive protection like this one to more passive methods to help protect innocent users who, through no fault of their own, somehow triggered it. While Yo-Yo states that it would love to remove DRM completely, it feels that because it is targeted by pirates so much, it cannot do so. It feels that it would not be able to retain the same level of sales without it. This is an unfortunate decision, as many game developers, such as CD Projekt, have found that without DRM, it's still possible to make money. For now, Yo-Yo advises that those who have this problem need to uninstall the application and delete all the data and registry files and then reinstall.
Dave says he's not played with you. I could swore he was there that night.
I think really... it was worse that was listening in.
Well, yeah, because he was supposed to play with us.
I know, and then didn't get the game.
Mm-hmm. And then is mad because we won't play again. We only fall for that one time, horse. And not those kind
it
of chicks.
It is a travesty.
We got to play together when we're not sick so we don't hack up
yeah.
on you. Anyway.
I'm hoping I'm muting myself every time I'm doing it.
I'm hoping I'm muting myself blowing my nose because, yeah, that's not something you want to hear. Anyway. Well, gosh, I got two more juicy newses. Okay, two more juicy news. Okay, so you people who use the webmaster tools for Google, there's a security breach. That's right. The Google site that helps website owners manage how their site appears in Google, diagnose problems, and optimize traffic is currently experiencing a major security breach. Old accounts are being re-verified. This is from Search Engine Journal. And that may not sound like a big deal, but it's a potential disaster for anyone who has had search engine optimizers working on their site. From initial glance, these particular accounts have regained access to every old account that you may have previously had or given access to, whether it's a previous client or maybe the site came something else, a short-term type of thing. So, and I'm gonna shorten that story because I know some of you are like, oh my God, and you need to be worried even if you have a little WordPress site or anything like that. Go ahead and make sure you verify your site and all that good stuff. Just go run. I know it's very scary. Don't let it happen. Okay. Other juicy. Remember that Apple fiasco with the maps? Ginger, do you remember that? I know
yes,
you do.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Well, that guy's name who caused all that issue, Richard Williamson, has been fired.
Fired? Oh, no, not fired.
Oh, no. He should have been fired the first day. The version of the mapping app launched in iOS 6 bombed with consumers, resulting in an apology from chief executive, Tim Cook. Williamson, the senior director of iOS Platform Services, was fired by senior vice president Eddie Q, according to Bloomberg's sources. Williamson was one of the executives in charge of the highly anticipated Apple Maps, which replaced competitor Google Maps app. When it launched with iOS back in September, it became very quickly apparent to all of you out there that the app had a lot of bugs, more bugs than were justifiable under a beta label. For example, in case you missed it when we were talking about it, the app showed failed 3D images of drooping bridges and placed a Chinese restaurant in the middle of a body of water. It also didn't provide accurate directions, resulting in a parody video of Batman failing to save someone because of it. and you got to see that one if you haven't. Tim Cook did apologize in a letter to consumers after the backlash, saying, "We fell short on this commitment. We are extremely sorry for the frustration this has caused our customers, and we're doing everything we can to make the maps better." Apple even suggested other map apps that customers could use while Apple improved the product. Of course, in late October, the Apple iOS executive, Scott Forstall, left, quote-unquote, left the company, which some said was connected to his rumored refusal to sign a public apology regarding Apple Maps. And, of course, Apple's not said anything to anybody about this. Yeah, I'm going to need y'all to... You know, I don't know why they – this is what I hate about some of the companies now. They're so into trying to put their own things on their phone. I know it's Apple iPhone, but you should give people the option. And then even if your app was bad, most people probably weren't going to notice. It's that when I pick up an iPhone and I get iOS 6, I had no other choice but to use yours because I couldn't, you know, say, you know, I think I'm going to stick with my Google Maps for now. Maybe I'll try that one later. So it would have taken some of the heat off of you. But to refuse, remember, they refused to let Google put their app on there. Remember, they put theirs on hold and went to bragging. Ours is better. Ours is better. It was not the finest hour, not your finest hour. All right. Ginger, back to you. How's the traffic on I-95?
Oh, my God, I've been talking and you can't hear me.
Uh-uh.
Oh, girl.
And she's coughing. Poor baby.
I'm trying not to. All right. So, action heats up with District 187 Sin Street, now available on Steam. Free-to-play FPS available to the masses on Valve Digital Distribution Platform. Oh, yes, that's called Steam, by the way. All right. So, CGA Games Global is announcing it's bringing the recently launched first-person shooter District 187 Sin Street to Steam. More than 54 million active players across the Steam network will have access to the competitive FPS District 187 Sin Streets. Players who sign up for a Steam account can download District 187 Sin Streets for free. Oh, yes, it's a free game. Steam is the most powerful online game platform in the world. That's not a taunt to other people. And our agreement with Valve for global distribution allows us to provide players with easy access to District 187 Sin Streets. This is just the beginning of our long-term partnership with Valve, so watch our upcoming CJ Games Global titles to launch on Steam. All right, so I've seen videos of this, and I've seen pictures of District 187 Sin Streets. I personally am going to go download it after the show and play it, because it looks amazing. So beautiful. I can't wait to play it. And by beautiful, I mean it's dirty and it's grungy, but it's so beautiful.
Which game was this?
District 187 Sin Streets.
Ooh.
Already more than 1,000 competitive clans have formed, so that's hot. I can't.
You just like to fight.
I do. It's a cutthroat, urbanized warfare and a player versus player environment. It puts vigilante SWAT agents against ruthless gang members. So it sounds a lot like APB. But I'm still going to go check it out. And I still love... Oh, and APB's got some new release going on today. So it's going to be down. So people who play APB, don't worry.
I was just about to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, then I'm going to let you go ahead and do that.
Well, there's not much to tell. You already told it.
Just that there's a big update. I forget what all's going on with the update. It's the third piece of the... Something, New Birth, Rebirth, something. Yeah. It's going to be down for a couple hours. Don't worry. It's going to come back up. And then y'all can all go be badasses.
I haven't been in there. I did get to punch
it's
a few.
It's so hot. It's so hot. I need to get some more coinage for that. Seriously, there's like so much I want.
Yes. I just want to drive around. You know how I roll. I just want to roll over people. That's what I do. Punch old ladies in the face. Y'all know how we roll.
I got to see what new cars there are. I love the cars. I love the cars.
They
are
nice.
All about guns. I love the cars because that's what I do. I just run people over.
That's exactly. And cause like huge pileups and explosions. It's just lovely.
Yes, I've got to do another video where I did that, because that one video didn't turn out so well.
What, did you do a video where you blew up some people?
Yeah, well, I stood on this one corner. I stood on top of my SUV thing, I forget what they call it, and I shot cars as they came to the intersection, and if it's an NPC car, it stops. So I ended up with a pileup of cars in four directions, because this was a four-direction corner,
mm-hmm.
and they were, like, in the intersection, piled up, and... each way around the block, either direction to where I couldn't see. And so these people were trying to have their car chases, whatnot, piling up. And so you were, like, seeing these people hop in these cars and trying to move them to clear ways, and I'm just piling up more cars. And
yeah, I snuck up on a guy the other day in a van. He was trying to sneak up on somebody else and didn't see me. That was hilarious when he realized he moved just at the last minute. I was about to pop him right in the back of the head. I got out of my car. I can't believe he didn't see me. And when he saw me, he turns around and jumped in his van. And I was like, I jumped in my car and I chased him around for a while until I got tired. But it was hilarious because he was really getting ready to get somebody else. I thought he was like, oh, my God, where did she come from? Oh, I wish I'd gotten him, though. That would have been just epic.
Yeah, I think I've got a friend to talk to him going and playing with me in a couple months when he gets a computer.
Woo-woo. All right. General Motors sent us over something interesting that you people with iPads may or may not like. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Early next year, the Chevy Spark, or Chevrolet Spark is what it's going to be called, and the Sonic LTZ and RS will be integrating with Siri. Yes, for your iPhone. Chevy made this announcement today at the Los Angeles International Auto Show and then, of course, sent it over to us. Why? How do we get on some of these people's lists? How do they know us? Anyway, so the car's standard Chevrolet MyLink infotainment system, customers with a compatible iPhone running iOS 6, of course, can direct Siri to perform a number of tasks while they safely keep their eyes on the road and their hands on the wheel. To further minimize distraction, Siri takes hands-free functionality even further with an eyes-free mode that enables users to interact with their iPhone using nothing more than their voice while keeping the device's screen from lighting up. Owners simply connect their iPhone with the MyLink radio via Bluetooth, pair with the system, and use the steering wheel voice activation button to begin and end sessions with Siri in eyes-free mode. Here's some other things that you can do with Spark and Sonic RS with Siri in eyes-free mode. You can make voice-activated hands-free calls to contacts on your iPhone, play songs in your iTunes library, even switch music sources automatically from AM, FM, XM radio to iPod mode, listen to and compose and send iMessages or text messages to a phone number or anyone in saved contacts, access calendar, and add appointments. Minimize the distraction even more, they're saying, by keeping the screen of the iPhone from lighting up even when Siri answers simple questions such as game scores or the dates of national holidays. Also, while in eyes-free mode, Siri will not provide answers to complex questions that require displaying a web page so that you don't have to look down, or hopefully you don't want to look down. One of the reps over at Chevy, Christy Landy, says it's a lot about our commitment to small car customers that Chevrolet has announced that Siri eyes-free compatibility will be available in Spark and Sonic well before the luxury brands. So that's nice because usually they only put it in the higher-end luxury cars. She says it's safe, easy, reliable, and portable connectivity, and it's a top priority for our customers. And Siri complements MyLink's existing capabilities to help deliver an incredible driving experience. Both the Spark and the Sonic also come with 6 months of OnStar's premium directions and connection service. OnStar also brings safety, blah, 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 blah. Of course, most of you that are smartphone owners can also download the Remote Link mobile app, which allows OnStar subscribers to control and manage certain vehicle functions from your phone. And, of course, they're saying you can pop over to OnStar.com to check that out. And, again, this car will not be out until next year, so don't run down to your Chevy dealership with your iPhone going, I want it. It's not out yet. You got to wait till next year. And, of course, you can go to Chevrolet.com to find out more information about the cars. I like that it's not going to be a higher-end thing because I got to test drive what's the big car? Ginger, you know you're muted, right? What's the big car that everybody loves? Escalade, the Cadillac Escalade. And while it had some really nifty things, it really wasn't geek. You know, it wasn't geek-friendly.
No, and that's one of those stupid name brand cars you're paying too much for.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, it's perfectly worth the money, but the computer technology really wasn't as up to what I was hoping it was going to be. You couldn't link up anything. You couldn't get to the internet. There was really nothing I could do as a geek that I was like, oh man, you know, this car is nice and it's got this. No, I wasn't seeing it. Oh my God, Ginger, I got to show you this because we're both in trouble.
Uh-oh, what's going on?
Mobile game Fishing Joy 2. Because you know we're going to play. Put the phone down, Ginger. Put it down. Don't do it. Don't download it. Leading international mobile game company Coco China has announced that Fishing Joy 2 has currently generated over $1.6 million in revenue per month from Chinese Android markets alone.
Droid.
See, she can do it today. Look at it. Because we're sick. She did it. That's amazing. That's
my voice is so low right now. It's like the lowest it's ever been.
Yes. And she sounds sexy, y'all. Anyway.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Fishing Joy 2 is the sequel to the company's flagship game, Fishing Joy, which has been downloaded over 120 million times. Most of that is by me and Ginger. Created by Punchbox Studios, Coco China's development and publishing arm, the Fishing Joy franchise has become a profitable global hit as the Chinese mobile gaming landscape witnesses the rise of Droid. I think that should be the name of something, the rise of Droid. There you go. Fishing Joy 2 is now turning heads in the mobile gaming industry with a free-to-paid conversion rate of 30% in China. The title is quickly climbing the charts like its predecessor and has secured 5 million downloads since its launch in June. Fishing Joy 2 also boasts an ARPDAU of over 0.40 cents and has found strong commercial success in the Chinese Droid market, demonstrating the market is both large and profitable. I want it. Can we get it over here now? We got the other one.
All right, babe, we got to have a discussion about it.
Poor baby.
I know, right? I'm trying. All right. So parents say they learned of daughter's death on Facebook.
Ooh, juicy. Oh, my God.
I just found this over on Yahoo. Just literally tripped across it. Parents of a college freshman who was found dead on campus say that they found out about her death on Facebook. Jasmine Benjamin, a 17-year-old nursing student at Valdosta State University in Lawrence, Georgia, was found dead in a study area in her dorm on November 18th. According to CBS, police are treating the death as a homicide pending the results of an autopsy. Her parents say that school did not inform them of her death, and neither did the police. No, they learned about it through a friend's Facebook post. James Jackson, which is Jasmine's stepfather, says for someone to be so insensitive not to reach out to the family is very hurtful, to say the least. I just can't believe this, people. You post this stuff on Facebook before the family's even been told. That is, I can't even tell you how despicable that is, how disgusting that is. You know, you should at least call. You know this girl. Call her family. Offer your condolences before you post something like this on Facebook. I have a friend of mine. I'm from a military. All right, hold on. I know, soapbox, but I'm going on it. Because a friend of mine is military, or she was, at least a military spouse. Her husband was over in Afghanistan. I was both deployed. At least we had people that were both deployed at the same time. Anyways, and she got a phone call from somebody before. It got on the computer, more or less, before she was actually contacted by the military that her husband was dead. This is sick. This is sick. This is horrible, and I hate this. So people don't do this.
That's the world that we live in now, is the saddest thing about it is people think this is okay to do.
It's not. It's not okay. I know a lot of you think, you need to put everything of your life out there for the whole digital world to see. You don't. And for stuff like this, I can't imagine, because you posted this up on Facebook. You're friends with those parents. Every time they look at your page, every time they go through their, news feed, that's going to be there, and it's going to be a horrible reminder. And I'm not saying that they're trying to forget, but there are some things you don't want to have to be put in your face every time you go online. I mean, because some of these people are going online for an escape, And this is just horrible. How dare y'all? How dare y'all?
Like I said, world we live in. They think this is perfectly fine. It's okay to post this on Facebook. Remember I told you I passed by the funeral and they're taking pictures in front of the funeral home going, I'm going to post this on Facebook. Why? And I'm not even one of those people that necessarily looks at death as a bad thing, because we all have to die.
We all got to die sometimes.
Yeah, but it's still respect. Is what it is. Have some respect for the dead. You shouldn't be posting pictures at a funeral. That's not people, mm-hmm. so many people disgust me. Some of the things you think are okay. I can't even, you know, cite the ignorance. It's just what you think is okay. It's perfectly fine to say and do. Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah.
I can't breathe. I need some oxygen.
I know, girl. If I had thought about it, we would have scheduled this for a short.
She tells me right 2 minutes before the show starts, we should have done a short show. Yeah.
Music for the last little bit.
All right. Well, we can't do that, woman. That means I still have to sit here. Anyway, Tapjoy. Tapjoy has a new boss after his former president and CEO, Mihir Shah, resigned yesterday. Steve Wadsworth, former president of Disney Interactive Media Group, has been appointed as the new CEO. He says, I'm extremely excited to be joining Tapjoy and the incredible team of talented, committed people who have built this dynamic company, and I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to lead Tapjoy through our next stage of growth. Tapjoy is a unique and compelling company whose innovation has created a robust model for mobile app discovery and monetization, serving the needs of publishers and advertisers. It says, I'm honored to be part of the team, and I look forward to the opportunity. Wadsworth joined Disney Interactive Media Group in 1999 and stayed with the company for 11 years before founding his own Wadsworth & Company in 2011. He is also currently a director and executive chairman for Slacker, a San Diego internet radio startup. Tapjoy sits in the epicenter of an incredibly exciting growth industry and is well-positioned to take advantage of future growth. This is from Mark Lecce, chairman of Tapjoy's board. He says Tapjoy has scaled dramatically over the past 2 years, and we're very excited and fortunate to have someone with Steve's management credentials and deep technology and entertainment industry expertise to lead, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so congratulations on your new job. Sorry about the guy that resigned, or I hope you're going on to bigger, better things. We hope and pray. Poor baby. Ginger?
I'm here. I was blowing my nose.
I just saw some shoes pop up on Facebook. I'm going to need some alone time. Oh, my God.
I know. Especially if those steampunk ones I've been looking at.
Oh, these are not steampunks. They are so garishly pink and girly that I must have them, and I'm sharing them on our page because they are too cute. Oh, my God. They're so cute.
Hi.
Find me. Look, find Ginger. You find me. Look, I always tell Ginger. Ginger, you find me. The mesh so that I can make these shoes right here. That's what you do.
Hmm. I'm going to have to.
You just saw them?
I don't know. I'm a little out of it. I think I'm coughing so hard I'm lightheaded. All right. So. Did I just close a story? Yeah, I did. All right, so Twitter hashtag highlights sexism in the games industry. Our favorite guy over here on our show, Master Blaster, has like this severe idol worship going on with Kotaku.
Yep.
Anyways, and they put up this cool little article that chronicles the Twitter hashtag number one reason why. Hold on, I got a cough.
Uh-oh. Do I need to put some hold music on?
No, I'm back. All right. So, number one reason why, which has served as a rallying point the past day or so, on what women in both the video game industry and their female counterparts in games journalism had to put up with, and why there are not as many women in both fields. Thousands of tweets detail how working in the industry with male coworkers is more challenging than it should be, and how feedback from female developers is often pigeonholed in the terms of being too bitchy, not understanding the male demographic, and more. The hashtag highlights how male coworkers and bosses seem to be out of touch with the fact that the industry and the world is changing when it comes to gender, a growing female demographic of gamers worldwide, and that it is no longer the 1960s where women can be told to be a dear and go fetch a cup of coffee. Yeah, I'd go fetch that cup of coffee, and then you'd be in a very hot seat when I pour it over your dangly bit.
I get your cup of coffee if your name starts with my and ends with man. So if that's not the case, then no, you don't want to be asking for coffee. As Ginger said, you'll be wearing it. It'll be the new hot accessory, literally. We may talk about that Thursday if we are all, like, in our mentally.
I'm going to read it and listen to the story to you. I try to stay away from there because, you know, I know Blaster has such a huge thing, so I'll kind of let him know that. That's his.
Well, he's probably going to try to grab it if he's coherent, in case y'all didn't know our Blaster had surgery, so.
Yes. He's now the bionic man.
Yes, he got some parts put in. Wow. Those of you who have a Samsung or...
I know.
What'd you say?
Gun for the finger and...
What'd you say?
So he's got the whole little laser eye and the gun for the finger and...
I'm sure he would love that. Those of you who have yourselves a Dell or a Samsung might want to be on the lookout. The U.S. Computer Readiness Team, called U.S. CERT, revealed that Samsung printers and some Dell printers manufactured by Samsung contain a hard-coded backdoor which could allow access to hackers who could then make changes to the device, see information and data that's passed to the printer, and possibly even use the printer as a vector for further attacks inside a company's network. Ooh, the backdoor operates over SNMP, the Simple Network Management Protocol, in case you don't know what that acronym means, and remains active even when it's disabled. Even worse, it does not require any authentication, meaning the black hats who are aware of the vulnerability can simply walk right in. If you've just bought a printer, you're likely safe. Models released after October 31st of this year are not affected, and they're saying a patch should be released shortly, according to Samsung and Dell. Vulnerable organizations that need a fix instantly, network administrators, can block the custom SNMP port, CERT said. Another suggestion and good network practice is to only allow connections from trusted sources. Ooh.
Wow. I'm sorry, I was over here reading some of these tweets. Wow. Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that because that's making me angry.
Well, you know what? It's not shocking.
No, it's not, but it still makes me angry.
It's not shocking. It's a battle we'll continue to have to
All right.
Fight.
So, yeah. All right, so I'm going to be all about game politics today because I'm just lazy. IndieDev extols the importance of playtesting software bugs. If you're a gamer, you've no doubt encountered one at some point. If you've played Skyrim, you've definitely encountered one. Oh, the weekend, our own... Not our own, anyways. Who am I reading about? You know what? Never mind. I was going to read this. I don't want to read this. I'm going to read something else. All right, what am I reading? I'm reading about Chicken Raid. Chicken Raid! All right, so FDG Entertainment just released a brand new update for Chicken Raid, version 1.2. The update includes iPhone 5 widescreen support and an all-new level pack. Chicken Raid is a physics puzzler oozing with charm. The player tries to get rid of a rowdy chicken gang by tapping on objects to destroy them and cause deadly chain reactions. You can check out the awesome animations in the debut trailer, which I'm going to pop up over on new.gameandatrix.com.
Mm-hmm.
The game supports Retina resolution and even has an own chicken song. Oh, my God. They say this is not an Angry Birds clone. All right, so you can get it for 99 cents for the iPhone, 99 cents for the iPad, 66% off. All right, so again, new.gameandatrix.com this morning. I'm going to have this up for you in just a minute. Check it out.
All right. What had happened was I had a busy moment just then. Ooh.
I know. Neither one of us can breathe, and we're trying to think. That's not conducive.
No, it's not conducive to having a good news. Well, when we listen to this later, it'll be like, oh, my God, we were so sick that day. Do you remember that day, Ginger?
So sick. I don't know how I have lungs left. I didn't realize my nose could... Yeah, anyways, I'm not going
to
go there.
Yeah, I know exactly. I heard that in your head. Somebody needs you not to go ahead and finish that sentence. No.
But.
No. I understand. I'm right there with you. All right. So, those of you who love you some tower defense games will be happy to hear about this one. I'm trying not to sneeze. Anomaly Korea. Stop it, Ginger. Try to sneeze with your eyes open. Can't be done. Okay, so anyway. 11-Bit Studios today announced that it'll publish the next-gen tower offense strategy game called Anomaly Korea on Google Play for the Droid platform. Anomaly Korea, the sequel to the critically and commercially successful Anomaly Warzone Earth, brings back the award-winning tower defense gameplay and adds a host of new features and challenges. I cannot say your name, dude. Gorski, I'm sorry. He said he's very proud of the progress that we made with the Anomaly franchise, and I hope the fans and new players will have great fun playing it. In Anomaly Korea, the alien robots have returned to claim Korea. Players lead a squad into fierce firefights using Anomaly's tactical planning and tactile touch controls.
Oh, I thought it would be Korea.
Touch controls to overcome the alien scum. New units and powers provide new ways to turn the tide of war, but new enemies await on the battlefields of Korea in 12 new missions and new Art of War trials. A sequel to this is supposed to be a sequel to Anomaly Warzone Earth. Think tactically across 12 new missions, deploy new player powers and units to take on new armies, enemies. Oof. Dizzy. Put your skills to the test in the Art of War mode. Cutting-edge visuals and stunning soundtrack with full voice acting. Graphics optimized for today's most powerful Android devices. Anomaly Korea will be available on Android devices soon. An iOS version will be published in partnership between 11-Bit Studios and Chilingo and will be available at the same time as the Droid release. Hot.
Interesting. All right, so we talked about Naughty Bear. I'm ridiculous. Hello, Naughty. What's your favorite scary movie? Naughty Bear completes his homage to classic horror with the latest addition to the Naughtiest Marketplace, the Ghostface Bear costume set available on Xbox Live Arcade for the Xbox and the PlayStation. The costume is a scream guaranteed to scare those wretched bears more than ever before. The Ghostface Bear DLC contains the mask of the Major Yawn, pitch black hood, pitch black garb, and pitch black skirt. Yes, because every bear needs a skirt. No retro homage mass murderer would be complete without an iconic knife, so why not complete the look with Stabby, the most violent knife available on Paradise Island. It's the perfect weapon of choice for the Ghostface Bear costume. Those bears can run, but they can't hide from Stabby the Knife. Alright.
Stabby the Knife.
Yeah, and there's a YouTube video, which I'm going to put up. New.gamingmatrix.com, Ghostface Bear costume set and accessories are priced individually at 80 Microsoft points and 99 cents worldwide for PlayStation Network. With Ghostface Bear joining Teddy Krubear, Penny Bear the Clown, and Jason Pawhees running amok around Paradise Island, it looks like it's time to call in the good guys to restore a bit of order. Holy need to save the day. Naughty, is that Bat Bear? Holy need to save the day. Naughty, is that Bat Bear? There we go. Grab the last of Naughty Bear's new costumes for 80 Microsoft points. Again, 99 cents worldwide. From the 5th of December. Yay! So I'm going to have this up on new.gamenatrix.com in just a little bit. Check it out.
Hot.
Yeah.
Okay, we got time for one more.
Yay!
You sound so happy.
Girl,
do try to control yourself there, lady. All right. Uh-oh, wait a minute.
I was trying.
Oh, wow. I'm having a moment. I have a whole dizzy thing going on. This is fun. All right, Cats Away is the perfect iOS game. Have you played that one?
Away, the ginger will play.
Ginger's always playing, even when the cat's there. Games developer Zigzag is proud to announce that Cats Away is available as a free download beginning today. It's a special promotion with popular games and app portal Daily App Dream, which Ginger discovered last year. You should be listening to us. You would know these things. In Cats Away on iOS, the planet of cats is in trouble. A supernova is threatening the survival of every cute and adorable cat on the planet, and it is your task as a cat-loving alien to rescue them from extinction. I can't say that while I'm sick. This is accomplished by abducting them, using your tractor beam to suck them into your UFO. Thousands of cats are at your mercy, and the better you perform, the better upgrades become available. Touch the screen to activate your beam, and the frantic rescue mission can begin. Snatching up cats and valuable power-ups, and as your experience and performance improves, so does the strength and capacity of your beam. And with a stronger beam, you can lift up even the largest cats, even the most obese cats, which leads to some incredible scores as well. I don't like how this is sounding. You can collect coins not only through scoring, but also by discovering them scattered around, some hidden, some not. And when enough coins have been collected, you can upgrade and purchase even better and more impressive UFOs. Some UFOs have unique abilities that will affect gameplay and combo multipliers, and each has different characteristics. And get ready for some serious feline action as you unlock new and adventurous planets through achievements. It's featuring feline gameplay, intuitive controls, and plenty of cuteness. Castaway has plenty to offer. Again, it's available on your iPhone, Apple iPod Touch, and the Apple iPad, and is the sequel to a game called Neko Up that was previously released in Japan and was number one in the paid apps category. Who knew?
Interesting.
I wouldn't play a game with Neko's in it. Maybe that's why it wasn't released here. Just saying.
Interesting. Yeah. Not into Neko.
Yeah.
Neko's. Whatever.
Whatever you
they
want.
They invaded, like, Second Life. And I was like, you gotta tell.
Oh, don't get me started. All right. And it is about that time for us to say goodbye and go and take copious amounts of drugs and pass out. Cold medicines, people.
Yes.
So you guys...
There are a couple of stories upon new.gamenatrix. I'm going to try to post more throughout the day. So...
Oh, that was a bad sneeze. But we'll see you
guys
later. You know where to find us, GameMatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, and everywhere in between. We will see you guys bright and early tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be better tomorrow. Back to normal.
I hope so.
Bye, guys.